It's been the most magical career ever. It's perfect.
Tell us how long you were here.
43 years altogether. 43 years, and it's the most wonderful school in the universe.
Well, you know, we believe that.
I know. You do, but it really is. And the students here are just strong, decent people who really want to do something with their lives. And that was my goal, to show them a path.
Kohanic took an interesting path to what he said was the perfect career for him. So you wanted to be an artist, though. Tell me about that.
Well, when I was young, I painted a lot. I drew pictures of cars, and I designed cars. And I won an award from General Motors for designing a car. And I thought that would be the life for me. My mom and dad, we didn't have too much money and thought that that was a long shot.
When he was 17, General Electric recruited students from his high school to be engineers. He scored well on the aptitude test. Kohanic went to work for GE in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, while starting classes at UMass, paid for by the company. But he didn't do so well.
Nothing really fell together for me that year. And at the end of the year, sadly, and I knew this was going to happen, General Electric said they were wrong about you. It looks like you didn't want to be an engineer. You know what I mean?
Aww.
I know. So they said goodbye to me. But I learned so much about myself that year. I really did.
Kohanic then spent a year at community college and liked his accounting courses. When he went back to UMass, his roommate was an accounting major. He took it as a sign and started helping out his accounting professors, then got his master's and started teaching.
And it's been really the career that was chosen for me.
Although many of the 250 students in each class at UConn weren't studying to be accountants, Kohanic wanted to challenge them all and make sure every student had the basics down, knowing how to balance their checkbooks or take out loans. And he wanted them to know about life.
So when did you start using these life lessons in all your classes? Was that always something you
did? I know. Even when I was little, I was always searching for the answer to life. And I'll just tell you one story. When I was a senior at the University of Massachusetts, my last class, I was saying, you know, this has not been a bad education at the University of Massachusetts, but no one ever told me, what is the secret to life? I've been waiting for that from some teacher. And so when I started teaching myself, I started trying to pass along all my life experiences to my students. And I remember one time when I was here for about 15 years or so, I had to give a speech at night. And in that speech, I talked about what is the secret to life. And I came up with a thing called PIE, P-I-E, PIE. They stand for priorities, individuality, and enthusiasm. Priorities, that's so important. Students need to know, like, what is the most important thing I've got to get done? And I'm going to focus on that with all my heart, you know? And then individuality, it blows me away that all the people I've had here, 1,000 people a year about, every human being is unique to themselves. They're unlike anybody else in the world. How could there be that many different people? And you should embrace your individuality. That's who you are. That's what makes you special. And then find ways to harness that into a career. But don't abandon your individuality. Don't be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then enthusiasm, that makes up for everything else. You know what I mean? When you just be enthused and anxious to try everything in life. And so that ended up being my kind of message for life in three words. I kind of embraced that into a whole bunch of other things in all my classes. And it became a class where we started every class with a thought for the day, mm-hmm. and we reflected on that. Some students didn't like that. They said, I don't want the thought for the day. I don't need that. I don't need your stories. You know, I just want to, you know, get into it. Some students actually tape recorded my lectures and told all my stories and put them on a master tape.
That's
and played
great.
The master tape of all my stories as I drove around. That was very touching. Many students write me now and talk about their careers, and their lives, their families, their children, and they reflect upon all the messages that we talked about in class, and they tell me how much it's meant to them in their lives, which makes me very, very happy.
Students might remember him so well because in a huge lecture hall, without using devices like clickers, he tried to engage all of them. After class, he'd be exhausted.
I greeted them at the door when they came in, and I started every class, and I really meant it by saying, it's so nice to be with you today. And one person wrote on my course evaluation, they said, you can't be this happy. She said, "You're faking it. You're faking it. I know you're faking it. I'm tired of this happiness." You know what I mean?
Well, I've been in here with you for a half hour, and you are this happy, I think.
Yeah, I am this happy. You know, and I start every day like this and thinking, wow, what can we do today? You know, the first lesson we started with every semester was this quote by Irma Bombeck, where it said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I hope I could say I used every bit of talent you gave me, and I have nothing left." And that's kind of where the whole course came from. All of this talent that's inside of us, it's incredible. And the more you use of it, the more that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did want all the students in my class to feel like we were like that. They had this talent, and they just had to begin using it all the time.
Later in his career, Kohanic knew that using all his talent meant pursuing his love for art.
Then when I turned 60, I still remembered my passion for art. When I had different times off in summer times, I tried to get back into art, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have the framework or the training. And so I went to the art department, and at that time, the head of the department was Judith Thorpe, lovely woman. And I brought things I did when I was 16 and 15. I was really scared. I was really frightened to come in. And I said, "Judith, I'm Dick Kohanic from accounting. I teach here. And here's some things I did when I was 16, and I really want to be an artist. Could I sit through all the art classes, starting with basic drawing, figure drawing, watercolor, oil painting, everything?" And she said, "I think we could do that." It turned out to be two lives, in a way. That's what people view it as, two mm-hmm. lives. My life as a teacher and my life as an artist. And the work I do, I've had my things in shows and everything. And honestly, this part of my life has ended up being one of the most joyous parts.
Absolutely. And you didn't do anything in between when you were 16 and
nothing.
60. You did no art.
I mean, nothing. Because it was
incredible.
So busy being a teacher here. I was a department head. I was mm-hmm. an associate dean. And all of those activities, just mind-boggling busy. And I never really went back to it. But then when I did start those art courses, I was a demon in those art courses. This teacher said, "Do one painting," I would do three. All the students in the class would say, "Hey, Dick, you got to slow this down a little bit, you know?
You're making us look bad.
You're making us look bad. We can't do this anymore." And the teachers liked having me in those courses because I was so incredibly over the top in enthusiasm. You know, I was saying, "Wow, this is great. I love this." You know what I mean? Some courses I took a couple of times. Like there's a Friday workshop in printmaking where you spend the whole Friday there doing prints. I must have taken that three times. and then, you know, working with these fellow students. See, I taught students.
Right.
But now to work with them as a fellow colleague.
Right.
It was so much fun. And I'm fortunate in that I think this life of experiences with hundreds of people here from all different walks of life and all different thoughts and dreams and hopes and desires made me kind of come to a fruition with respect to all the things I wanted to do.
What do you want your legacy at UConn to be?
Someone who really cared about all of his students. That's number one. I really did care about everybody. And I tried to do my very best with everyone.